The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend John Couch, John's engineering and producing the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, December 17th. Thank you so much, all of my friends and listeners who sent along birthday greetings yesterday. Felt really nice, added a real nice festive air to my birthday, and I'm very much appreciative. We're broadcasting from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice. For trusted news talk, buckmastershow.com is the place for all of our podcasts. Live line number 790-2040. Well, Boeing will temporarily stop making the MAX, the 737 MAX, its most popular plane, starting next month as it deals with the setbacks related to the troubled aircraft. The 737 MAX, of course, has been grounded since March after two crashes that killed 346 people. But Boeing continued making the model in hopes that it would soon be certified to fly again, and that process has proved extremely difficult. Orders for the MAX have dropped significantly, and Boeing has not been able to deliver the stockpiled planes, which of course means a huge cash drain for the company. Then we had the news last week out of Washington at a House committee hearing that it was revealed that both Boeing and the FAA ignored clear signs that the 737 MAX planes were dangerous, even after one of them crashed last fall. The Buckmaster contributor on aviation is Captain Jeff Lattice, a highly decorated retired combat fighter pilot. Jeff's a captain at JetBlue, and he flies the Airbus A320, the A321. He has nearly 20,000 hours of accident-free flight experience. Jeff, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, Bill. How about yourself?
Doing well. Thank you very much. What's your take on this? Do you think the MAX will ever fly again?
Yeah, I'm almost certain that they'll actually certify it. I will say, though, right now, I just read this morning where Southwest has delayed any chance of it flying with them until after April. So I think that they're getting close to certifying the aircraft. The problem that will happen after certification is actually more of a logistics problem, and that's getting the airplanes not only to the companies that have bought the airplane, but also you can't just take all those airplanes all at once. It takes a while to put them into service. So that's going to be another problem that's going to create issues for the airliners themselves.
Jeff, you really have to feel for Boeing, the suppliers that supply the MAX. With the stopping of production, these people are in effect out of work, aren't they?
Well, you know, Boeing has said that they were going to keep their employees fully employed. That are working on the 737 line, but they're not the only ones that make the 737. There's all the subcontractors that are the vendors that provide all kinds of different things. For instance, I also read this morning that GE, who makes the General Electric, who makes the engine for the 737 MAX, has stated because of the shutdown in production that's going to happen here shortly, they're looking at a loss of over $1 billion,
wow,
in the billions of dollars.
Wow.
So now what are they going to do with their employees that are building these engines? You know, what about all the mom-and-pop organizations in Wichita, Kansas, for instance, where they make the fuselage for the 737? I used to work at one of these little machine shops that provided parts and tool and die to them when I was much younger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are they going to do now that they can't produce all the little small pieces and parts that go into the airplane. They can't afford to keep these people under employment when they're not getting a revenue stream themselves.
You know, so this is, I was just going to say, it's a very difficult situation, especially at Christmas here with a lot of these, as you say, these suppliers who are going to have a real tight situation until this is all sorted out, right?
Yes. Something else as I was preparing for this show, I mean, you might ask your next guest about the financial impact nationally on this. I read where it's going to, this year, the MAX production line by itself has had a 0.6% effect on total GDP of the country, and next year it's going to have at least 0.5% of an effect on national GDP. That's fairly significant when you think about it.
Yes, it
is. You're talking billions and billions of dollars.
Jeff, I want to ask you about Southwest. They've made the biggest commitment to the MAX. There's been some talk that maybe Southwest, which is an entirely Boeing product, airline may decide down the road here, maybe we better buy some Airbus products. And I've heard people say, well, why don't they just bring in Airbuses or lease them and let the pilots who fly the Boeing 737 fly an Airbus? Well, you fly an Airbus, and there's a big difference, isn't there?
Yes, it takes 2 months to train a pilot to fly an Airbus, or vice versa, to train an Airbus pilot into the 737. So people don't necessarily realize that there are significant differences between how these airplanes actually function. So, yeah, it's you can't just lease airplanes and throw a pilot in them and expect them to know how to fly it. That's not quite how it works.
Let me ask you, you're such an experienced pilot. Is an Airbus, is it generally thought of as an easier plane to fly than the 737?
Well, since I do have a type rating in the 737.
Okay.
I got it years ago. I will say the Airbus is an easier airplane to fly. But I've always said it's an easy airplane to fly, but it's a hard airplane to learn because it is radically different than anything that I'd ever flown before. Because it's in the airline world, it was really the first fly-by-wire airliner out there. And the way the computers function, you know, they control all the flight controls and everything, it's much more won't say advanced necessarily and complex, but the 737s and airplanes like that, they were still, you know, basically cables connected to hydraulic actuators.
Right.
And now you have computers that are actually controlling the function of those hydraulic actuators that control the flight controls.
Jeff,
So it is different.
I want to quickly running out of time, but I do want to ask you, because a lot of people are going to be flying over the holidays, they're going to be flying into areas that have bad weather. We had kind of this situation last year here in Tucson where we had basically a snow day that affected Tucson Airport, and there was some talk about what's the difference between the different levels of de-icing a plane. Could you quickly go over that?
Sure, no problem. If it's snowing and there is precip falling in terms of ice or snow, you have to go through what's known as a two-stage de-icing process. So you have to take the snow and ice off the airplane, and then you have to add an anti-ice, which is basically the same thing that you put in your radiator in your car. One of them is kind of a water-based with a little bit of antifreeze in it. The second application, and some of you who have flown in snow, it's a really thick green liquid, and it sticks to the surface of the airplane. That's the second phase of the application. And depending on how hard it's snowing, how cold it is, there's a time limit. We have these tables we have to go into. to figure out how long that lasts. If you exceed that, basically, if it's not snowing anymore, you can go ahead and take off. But chances are you might have to go back and get a second application if it's that bad. So the first application knocked off, if it's not snowing, you're good to go. You really don't even have to add the second application of that thick stuff. Most people do because you don't know if it's going to start snowing again.
Right. It's true.
So it's always better safe than have to go back and have to put it back on.
All right, Jeff. Thank you so much. Always good checking in with you. You're going to have a busy holiday season, right? Flying all over.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I start back up Saturday, and I'll go all the way through Christmas, and I'll come home Christmas night.
I think our listeners, Jeff, would be interested in some of the routing you do. It's kind of interesting. You go Tucson, you pick up JetBlue usually in L.A. or San Francisco, then you'll fly to maybe JFK, then if you're lucky, down to Cancun, places like that, in the Caribbean, for get a little fresh air anyway, and then turn around and go back, right?
Well, yeah, it's pretty much. It's not like what a lot of people think. We're not, lounging around too much. If I do the route down to Cancun, like we discussed one time offline,
yeah,
I'm just going down there, dropping off people, putting new people on the plane, and I go back to Kennedy or Boston typically. So I get to spend maybe an hour on the ground there in Cancun,
maybe
or
in
Jamaica or wherever.
Maybe enough time to go into duty-free, buy a bottle of tequila, or if it's Jamaica, a bottle of rum. There you go.
Yeah, that's correct.
All right. Jeff, have a great holiday season. We'll talk to you in 2020. Thank you, sir.
Okay, well,
thanks a lot.
Have a happy holiday.
We will. Captain Jeff Lattice with Flies for JetBlue. He's also the Buckmaster contributor, one of two dozen great contributors to our program. He talks about aviation. The Buckmaster Show sponsor, our favorite bakery, Mona's Danish Bakery. They're getting ready, of course, for Christmas, taking your orders for pies for the Danish Kringle, because Mona's is the home of the Danish Kringle. Steve, the chief baker and owner, my goodness, I was up there over the weekend. He was ready to prepare 50 Danish Kringles. That's a big order, folks. Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise, monasdanishbakery.com. Also, a link at buckmastershow.com. Back with Shelley Fishman, our friend who will talk about the financial markets and other things right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture in captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort. All on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how are you, sir?
I'm well. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Shelley Fishman, our financial consultant contributor. Jeff Lattice had some interesting things to say about the 737 MAX and its impact on Boeing and the general economy.
Absolutely. The manufacturer and of those jets, and also all the support, the supply line for getting stuff that goes into those jets, makes up a fairly significant portion of the economy. And by Boeing shutting down that production line, albeit temporarily, it will likely have a measurable negative effect on GDP growth. And it's one of the reasons I believe that, you know, there's some danger, significant danger, of the economy slipping into what is formally recognized as a recession at the beginning of next year.
It's going to be a pretty good year when all is said and done.
This year will have come out around 2%, which isn't bad, not great, but not bad. Next year, I think we could be flat. In other words, we'll have a couple of negative quarters and then some recovery, but I don't think it's going to be a good year for GDP.
But for the markets have done really well.
You know, when you get the word recession kind of coming into the news media, markets tend to react negatively to that. So, I've been reluctant to make a prediction about next year because this year is so much better than I thought it was going to be.
And your prediction was for
the year? Was about 10, 12% this year, and we're going to be more than double that.
Yeah, but you're going to hold off on the prediction.
For next year, yeah, because look, we're impeaching a president. There are many uncertainties.
Yeah, just a few variables. Let's pick up on our discussion about health care. Some of the more conservative proposals, Shelley Fishman, talk about kind of easing into what they call universal health care insurance.
Right. So when you're talking about these proposals, you're talking about the proposals being offered by the Democratic candidates. The Republicans aren't saying anything specific about health care except that they hate Obamacare.
Right.
So what you have is a range of proposals from the Democrats, some of which we've talked about already on this show, like Medicare for All. Mm-hmm. But then there are also several proposals from people like Vice President Biden and Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar that essentially say what we need to do is get to universal health care, but do it more gradually. And if we do it more gradually, the general consensus about how to approach that is something that would be a public option, right, that would be part of Obamacare, part of the Affordable Care Act, and that would allow individuals who don't want to buy private insurance on the open market to go and buy from this public option, which would probably be part of Medicare, but maybe a separate part of Medicare, and that public option would provide them with a level of medical insurance that would bridge the gap, if you would, as we develop and discuss the ways of getting to universal health care. what's important. I mean, that sounds really reassuring. Good, yeah. We don't have to do it all at once. I don't have to give up my insurance.
Sounds employers more palatable.
Well, there are problems. Mm. And the reason is that if you design a public option that would really be attractive to people to buy, it would have to be cheaper than and perhaps more robust in the things that it provides to its clients than private insurance. Private insurers would have to react.
Right.
So the inevitable result of a public option is the result whenever you mix a socialized or a publicly sponsored plan with private plans, they have different objectives. They have different financial objectives. And so and the article that caught my attention last week was by Margaret Sanger Katz in the New York Times. Basically, what she's saying is that a public option, if it were going to be properly designed, would almost certainly change private insurance in such a way that private insurers would either have to zig and zag in ways that are unnatural to them, or they would simply go out of business. And so it's very difficult to do this more conservative approach without, in effect, destroying the private part of the marketplace.
And on the face of it, though, Shelley, it seems like it would be less disruptive.
On the face of it, it seems.
But when you dig into this and get into the weeds, it could be plenty disruptive.
Exactly. There are unintended consequences
Right. Whenever
you're taking what is 19 or 20% of our economy and making major changes to it. Now, we saw some of that disruption when Obamacare came in. Now, all of a sudden, you know, Obamacare, even today, was able to add about 10 million Americans to the rolls of the insured. Okay, now this would kind of aim to collect another 20 million.
Right.
So now all of a sudden you have 30 million more people who go to doctors regularly, who are covered by medical insurance, who theoretically don't go to the emergency room because a lot of their medical needs are being taken care of in what you and I would consider kind of the right way to do it.
Right.
Well, we don't have the infrastructure in the medical community today to service 30 million more people. And that's one of the problems. We have to be able to create alternatives to the way we normally schedule, you know, people to get care, maybe physician assistance, maybe a level of primary care in drugstores and in our major retail establishments. That we've seen some movement in that direction when Obamacare first came in, but quite frankly, because Obamacare was limited almost immediately after its inception, we didn't make a lot of steps in that area. The other effects are going to be, how would the public option pay its physicians and hospitals? Would they negotiate like private insurers do? Or would they simply say, this is what we're going to pay, take it or leave it,
Yeah. The
way Medicare does? And so the whole transfer of wealth, if you would, from patients to the medical community would be affected by this. It's clear that we have not yet fully fleshed out how to make this happen in a way that will, number one, move us toward the objective of universal health care, and number two, be, I don't want to say minimally disruptive, but would not do on the way there the kind of damage that would be very disruptive in certain communities, like, for instance, in rural America.
Shelley, I was just looking at the calendar. We will not have you live in studio for till after 2020, because next
Are you giving me 2 days off?
No, I'm giving you next a week from today, believe it or not. It's Christmas Eve.
Right.
So we've got a special show. And then New Year's Eve, we have a special show, both Tuesdays. That's your day. So the next time I see you in studio, we'll be in 2020, and you are not going to make a prediction.
I will make a prediction then, I hope.
Then.
Because that, by that time, we'll have a better look. And, you know, I will have read up a lot more on the end of year kind of stuff that you get and the stuff that
I read.
And
it's going to be a tough year to predict. It's like you say, you've got the impeachment stuff going on, and it's a presidential election year.
Yeah. So we know that presidential elections don't have a consistent effect on markets, but they can certainly, over a period of time, the results of those elections can affect, gravely affect, economic policy. So there's a lot of stuff going on. We don't know what's going to happen with this China deal. I think we think that the USMCA, the essentially NAFTA 2.0, will go through Congress and be signed into law probably before the end of the year. But as a practical matter, there are very few changes from NAFTA and the new USMCA. So the real issue is going to be tariffs and trade with the rest of the world and how the rest of the world adjusts to the kind of, you know, the kind of policies that we've been putting in place with the Trump administration. I don't think that, you know, Mr. Trump is going to be removed. I think he will be impeached. What that does to the election is going to be kind of interesting to watch. And not just from our perspective, because we're here, we live it every day. But if you're, a manufacturer or somebody in charge of the economy, one of our trading partners or maybe even our trading competitors, those are very important things.
Shelley, thank you so much for your service
to our program. Happy New Year.
And have a great new year, and we'll talk to you in 2020.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Zocalo Village, part of Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. My goodness, the poinsettias are so beautiful. They were grown at Green Things. They're ready for you right now. They've got a special going on, some beautiful and quite large poinsettias. So now is the time to get over to Green Things to take care of your holiday decorating. Time running out. Christmas Eve, 1 week from today. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Also, support comes from Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find all sorts of ideas on how to recreate and great places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's go now to Vail, Arizona, where Dr. David Levy has his observatory. Dr. Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science, the former science editor of Parade Magazine, now head of and founder of Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. Dr. Levy, with 23 comets, 23 notches on his belt, one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. Dr. Levy, how are you, sir?
Hello, sir, Dr. Buckmaster. It's so great to hear your voice today.
Well, today's
a
big...
I want to wish you and your family and all of our listeners a very, very happy holiday, because this is the season, and let's hope that everybody has a quiet and happy and peaceful holiday ahead.
And I believe December 17th is an anniversary for you.
It certainly is. This is a very special day, December 17th. 54 years ago today, on December the 17th, 1965, I started my search for comets.
Wow.
And so when you said just now that I have 22 comets under my belt and in my eyes, that was really something very special, because this is the anniversary of the start of my comet search that took place 54 years ago today. And yes, I'm an old person, but I'm still feeling young whenever I go out and observe. And I'll be out observing tonight, I hope, if the wind doesn't keep blowing me away.
Well, my wish for you for the holidays is to make that discovery so you'll have an even 24.
Yeah. Well, you know, the number is the number, Bill.
Yeah.
And I'm totally happy in my life with 23 comets.
Yep.
When I started the search, the first goal was not to discover a comet. It was to learn the sky through a search for comets. And that was a very important marker there. And the second goal was to discover a comet or a nova, never to discover 23 of them, and certainly never to discover Shoemaker-Levy 9, which is one of the most important comets in history, not for what it was, but for what it did. And it, by colliding into Jupiter, Shoemaker-Levy 9 gave humanity a lesson on how life can form on a planet like ours.
And I know you talk a little bit about this in your autobiography, which, by the way, is available. It's available locally,
right?
Yes, Arizona. Yes. What has the impact been on your life with this particular project? What was the bottom line for your life?
It is the second most important decision I've ever made in my life, and that is to start searching for comets on December the 17th, 1965. Of course, the most important decision was to marry Wendy.
I knew that was coming. Yep.
Who is listening to my part of the show today, right now. And But those were the two most important decisions that I've ever made, I think, and they've both been very, very good. I've made some pretty horrible decisions.
Well, we all have.
Professional astronomer yeah. was good. All of my investments haven't been perfect, but But those two have made my life what it is, essentially.
Well, if you live to a certain age, you're going to make bad decisions, right?
Are we ever,
oh,
right?
My goodness. Any meteor showers of note?
Oh, yes. In the last three nights, I've been freezing outside watching the Geminids, and I've seen, I think with the brightness of the moon, I was able to count about 25 Geminids over the 3 hours of observing that I've done. Not very many, but it's been a lot of fun to do that. And despite the fact that comet searching is my main raison d'etre in astronomy, I don't think I enjoy anything more than just sitting on a lawn chair and looking up at the sky and watching for shooting stars. There's another shower coming up next week, I think the 23rd, called the Ursa. It's coming out of Ursa Major, Ursa Minor, I think, the Little Dipper. And but I don't know how they will, how strong they will be, but the moon will be at a good phase for them.
David, what about the David Levy quote of the month this holiday season?
Well, I have two quotes this month, and the first one I'm going to read all of the Hamlet to you, so that'll be 3 hours. Do you have the time?
not today.
Not today. So instead, I will read Robert Frost, Acquainted with the Night, where he says, God, I like Robert Frost. I have been one acquainted with the night. I have walked out in rain and back in rain. I have outwalked the farthest city light, but not to call me back or say goodbye. And further still, at an unearthly height, one luminary clock against the sky proclaimed the time was neither wrong nor right. I have been one acquainted with the night. And of course, the luminary clock is the moon. And the other quote is Tennyson. And that's definitely relating to the Geminid meteors that we just saw. Now slides the silent meteor on and leaves a shining furrow as thy thoughts in me. And that comes from Tennyson's The Princess. It's one of the most prettiest poems ever written in the English language. Tennyson was terrific, Bill. He was an astronomer. He had a telescope that he used every clear night. And really, I would have loved to have known him, but if I had known him, I would not be alive today, because Tennyson lived in the 19th century. But I do know his great-great-grandson, Jonathan Tennyson, who is an astronomer in England, and I've visited him.
How old is he?
He's got to be in his 50s by now, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We had a very good meeting, and he's a wonderful man. And on his office wall is a framed quotation out of In Memoriam, which is Tennyson's greatest poem.
But he's a direct descendant of Tennyson.
Great-great-grandson.
Wow.
Yeah.
That
absolutely
is so cool.
Absolutely, and it was really special to meet the man.
You know, the night sky this time of year, it's just so brilliant, you know. You get a clear night and a crisp.
Isn't it ever? And, yeah, it's nice to go outside and just see Orion.
Orion, that's where I was going. You know, I love Orion, and I think of it usually as the holiday kind of constellation.
Yeah. I know. That was really, it is a holiday constellation, because at Christmas time, it's just coming up, as Robert Frost also said, throwing a leg over the fence as it crawls up in the eastern sky. Just a wonderful constellation to see, and it's really visible right now.
David, I want to thank you so much, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday season. And thank you for all of your service to our program.
Just before we go, Bill, just between you and me, I received a note from you the other day, and I don't know if I ever had a chance to thank you, but that meant the world to me. And I really, really appreciated your note, and I want to wish you again and your listeners the best for the holidays.
Thank you, and right back at you. All of our listeners have a very strong fondness for you, and they look forward to your monthly visits, and I think we're going to be talking to you very early in 2020, and I look forward to it, David.
First,
thank you.
Breakfast, and we're back on again.
There you go, before you know it. All the best to you and Wendy. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right, Dr. David Levy with us, the Buckmaster contributor that has done so much for us over the years, first on TV and now on radio, our contributor on science. We have the Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. That's coming up on Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. This week's Arts Report on Buckmaster, sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater and the spirit of the holiday season. There are three wonderful holiday performances at the Fox this weekend. Friday night, December 20th, that's this Friday, in the Christmas mood, a holiday spectacular, enjoying entertaining evening of singing, dancing, comedy, and holiday magic in the tradition of a retro classic Christmas special. Then Saturday night, singer-guitarist David Brosa and his all-star lineup return to the Fox with their unique blend of Israeli and Spanish-infused songs. And rounding out the weekend, Sunday, boy, this is a big weekend for the holidays at the Fox. On Sunday, it's Voctave, a spirit of the season. We'll ring in the things merry and bright. It's going to be a great show. It's an 11-member singing group known as Voctave. So to get into the holiday mood, I suggest a visit. Why don't you begin at the foxtucson.com website for your tickets, the big festive holiday weekend. Purchase tickets to see In the Christmas Mood, a holiday spectacular Friday. David Brosa and friends Saturday. Voctave, spirit of the season Sunday. We'll get in the spirit now of the season with Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson, who has on his Santa hat, and he's ready to tell us about all the holiday arts activities. Hey, how are you, Dan?
I'm all right. I'm in the midst of the Visit Tucson holiday party in the heart of downtown Tucson, taking a break. I mean, you know, if I were Matt Russell, I would have canceled, but I'm here for you. You know that.
D- Did you put on
clear?
Did you put on a Santa suit for the Visit Tucson party?
I have a sweater, a maroon sweater that I applicate some snowflakes to. So it's very festive, very, very festive. As you know how much I love the holidays. By the way, that In a Christmas Mood, the Chris Dodge production, I think it's the 20th, highly recommended. Chris is so talented, and it really is a collection of Tucson's like best sort of jazz, sort of big band, Broadway-type singers. Including Crystal Stark, who was on American Idol, and people have seen around town. So, yeah, fully recommend it. It's going to be a great show, and all the proceeds go to benefit the Diaper Bank of Southern Arizona. So, that is my off-topic plug.
There you go. You got a lot of stuff going on between now and New Year's, so have at it.
Everyone is talking, well, at least several people, are talking about the Arizona Theater Company's production of Cabaret, which opened on late November, but is running through December 29th here in Tucson. It's sort of a new look at Cabaret, which is, you know, a sort of 70s era musical about Weimar Germany. But it's a modern take on it. It's got some an incredible cast of people who really of the sort of on Broadway circuit. But yeah, absolutely worth checking out. Arizona Theater Company obviously has gone through a fair amount of changes and things in the last couple of years. But the quality of the productions they've had this year so far, including Cabaret, off the charts. What a great gift for the sort of Broadway theater lover in your household. So if you, you know, grab some tickets, go to the show together. Who doesn't like experiences as holiday gifts?
Oh, yeah, everybody likes to get out for the holidays, see a nice show. What else is going on?
On a totally wildly different note, Saturday, December 28th from 11 to 3 p.m. at Charlie's Comic Books, basically at Kolb and Broadway, 1421 South Kolb, actually 22nd and Kolb. Henry Barajas, a Tucsonan at heart who lives in Los Angeles now working in the comic book industry, has done a multi-series comic book called La Voz de Mayo, Tata Rambo. It's a story of his grandfather, who was of the Pasquayaki tribe and was part of the sort of protest against the Butterfield Expressway, which was going to destroy a lot of Barrio Viejo and some of the sort of historic Pasquayaki lands of Tucson. It's an incredible comic book. I have all three issues, sort of in the, if you've seen Mouse or Persepolis, these sort of graphic novels that tell a historical story. He'll be signing the book, and one of the artists that worked on it will be there. It's going to be a great experience. If you have not seen this comic book and you care at all about Tucson history, especially of the Pasquayaki and the Hispanic variety, it is an absolute great read. If you haven't picked up a comic book in a while, this one might be right for you.
And, of course, comic book art is art, and some of these people are so incredibly talented, aren't they, Dan?
Yeah, we absolutely. And the people that the artists that Henry is working with on the book are great. And Henry tells an incredible story. He's super gifted in that sense. And it's got like footnotes in it, for Pete's sake, and letters that he exchanged with the people involved. It's really incredibly well researched and sort of talks about an era in Tucson history that sort of has been buried a little bit by time.
All right, Dan Gibson, what else do you have for us?
In a similar note, on Andrea Bell, she is a local artist, a Jewish-Mexican artist and art teacher, sort of a little bit illustrative art, has an incredible Instagram perspective. But she has an event Friday, December 20th at 11 a.m. at the Jewish History Museum. It's called Bonding Over Bread. It's an art-making workshop, and they're also going to be serving pan dulce from La Estrella and challah and coffee, and prints of her work will be there as well. Andrea is an incredible artist, and the sort of like look at family life and how people interact is great. And if you haven't been to the Jewish History Museum in recent times, it's absolutely worth checking out another sort of like part of Tucson history that gets a little overlooked at times.
Yeah, and we want to wish all of our Jewish friends happy Hanukkah. I think Hanukkah and Christmas pretty much coincide this year, so there you go.
Yeah. A little bit of a crossover, right? So yeah, something exciting to do on that front.
All right, I could take a couple more quick ones.
All right. Wildmire Gallery, which is on East Skyline Drive, they're having an event also on Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. It is their holiday party. They'll have light refreshments, but they also have a festive gallery artist group show, paintings and sculpture, ceramic pieces, and jewelry. Also a demonstration by the artist Sarah Weber, and live music as well. Wildmire Gallery has an incredible collection, and they actually have some pieces right now as part of their holiday thing that reflect both Christmas and Hanukkah, sort of artistic takes on those themes as well. So if you haven't been to Wildmire on Skyline, it's a great opportunity to do so this Friday.
Again, the address, it's up Skyline?
2890 East Skyline. You can find out more information on their Facebook page.
Okay, and we should do a quick shout-out. Of course, we're going to talk more about it on the show Thursday, but we've got the big bowl, the football game on New Year's Eve, all sorts of activities around that. I'm wondering, I think the Wyoming team is going to probably bring thousands of fans down here.
They're very enthusiastic. They actually wanted to get picked last year and had a pretty impressive social media campaign to try to do so. So they're ready. They're ready to participate in the bowl game. Also, the Georgia State fans, I think, will turn up pretty well. The Arizona Bowl, the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl, really does get better every year. This year, being on New Year's Eve, there's also, you know, sort of continues on through downtown. There's a giant taco drop, sort of in Tucson's Times Square tradition. The world's largest pinata, I believe. Live music, food, food trucks, drinks, all the things you could want on New Year's Eve. All happening downtown, but the game should be great too. I've been, I think, every year now, and it's consistently a really entertaining bowl game, and it's super well presented by Ollie Farhang and crew over there. It's definitely endorsed.
Yeah, Ollie's going to be on the show on Thursday at 12:30, so we'll look forward to talking to him. It really rounds out the calendar year in what has been a very good year, I believe. You can affirm that, if you would, Dan Gibson, for Visit Tucson and Tourism.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we still have these consistently high months. There was one month that wasn't up year over year, but that was partially because of the shifting time of the gem show. But consistently still going up. We're outpacing most of what we call our competitive set, the cities we compare ourselves to, which have seen either declines or a flattening in tourism. And then, you know, obviously next year, I think four new hotels are scheduled to open, which is always great news for our market. That people are looking at the city and seeing that there's money to be made in tourism. The convention hotel in the Doubletree, the graduate opening by the university, the Home 2 in Hampton, and the renovation of the Tucson, which is one of those frontage road properties. But all good news, and 2020 looks to be continuing on that trend. We've had an incredible run, and we're just trying to hang on some way.
I want to thank you, Dan, for your service to this program. We'll look forward to your reports and maybe doing some guest hosting when we take the annual overseas trip in May. So I really look forward to a great year with you, Dan Gibson.
It is my pleasure. You know, when you get to work with radio legends and people of your stature, you say, yeah, that's what I always do. I say, you try to surround yourself with the best people, and you're one of them.
Thank you very much, Dan. Have a great holiday season.
You too.
All right. It's a big festive holiday weekend coming up at the Fox Tucson Theater. Let me quickly go over some of these performances because it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday deal. Beginning with In the Mood, a holiday spectacular on Friday, and then David Brosset and Friends on Saturday. Voctave, Spirit of the Season, will be Sunday at the Fox. Best place to go to find out all about these activities and the ticket information, go to foxtucson.com. All sorts of good information about the Fox. Want to thank all of those folks associated with the Fox Tucson Theater for their support here on the Buckmaster Show. That's going to do it. Our Tuesday edition of Buckmaster, Dave Ramsey, with his great financial program that's coming up. He has such great information on that program. It's a very popular show. The Dave Ramsey Show follows Buckmaster Monday through Friday here on 1030, your source for Trusted News Talk in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. I am Bill Buckmaster on behalf of John Couch. Thanks, John. Have a great day. Back with you tomorrow, 12:04.